Well, this is episode, I think, 17. We're a few months into this Mile High Show business. Oh, I'm Matt Santos. I'm your host. And this is, I think, week three of me not having a voice. So I hope it's on its way back. I'm sure some of you out there are hoping it goes even farther away so you don't have to hear me anymore. I know my wife, she's hoping that, I think. It gets worse and worse the more I talk. It gets hoarser and hoarser. So during the week, I try and avoid conversation as much as possible. Just because it's annoying more than anything else. But like I said, the more I talk, the worse it gets. And it's kind of odd because when my wife gets home from work, she asks me to read her the phone book. And I don't think that's a good sign. I think she likes the silence of me not having a voice. Anyway, in the next few weeks, I'm going to be heading out on the road, I think. That's the plan anyway. I went down last week to Phoenix to talk with Brian Kahatsu. That was a fun one. A fun little road trip for the day down in Phoenix. But I'm hoping to head a little farther. I'm thinking maybe Tucson and, I'm not sure. Maybe either Nevada or California. I got an opportunity and an option to do either or maybe both. I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes. But we're doing a little bitty road trip tonight. I'm going from Chino Valley into Prescott. We're going to record on the way. I'm going to be talking with Dale Long, who's a new friend of mine. We share some mutual acquaintances, some mutual friends, and over the past few weeks, I've gotten to know Dale a little better. He is an aspiring musician in Prescott and Chino area. He plays some of the open mics. He's gone down to Phoenix a couple times to play. Excuse me again. So I'm on my way in my trusty Honda van to go pick up Dale, and he and I are going to travel the road between Chino and Prescott. It's about an 8-mile stretch, and we're going to talk, and then we're going to stop at a couple of places, hear some music, bop in and out of a couple of places that he frequents, that I frequent, and we're going to talk about his music and what brought him to the state he's in now of wrenching on pipes as a plumber during the day and playing music nights and weekends. He's starting an open mic. He's going to start it tomorrow, actually, which will be yesterday, I think. It depends on when I post this. Anyway, he's starting an open mic for like-minded musicians, singers, and songwriters in the area at the Rocking Horse in Prescott Valley. So we want to plug that. We'll get some more info on that new venture of his as we talk and as we go through the evening. And right now I'm at my mailbox checking my mail. Oh, another DirecTV ad. My Costco mailer and another envelope that's most likely not a big, huge check. That will allow me to retire. Let me toss that in the back of the van. So we'll see what drives Dale. And I think his story echoes the story and the feelings that a lot of artists in not just Arizona, but throughout the world feel. It's they do what they do so they can do what they love. And We will listen to Dale's story, except I think I just passed his house. No, here it is. And I'm not sure that he knows I'm going to record with him. I just told him we were going to come by and listen to some music, so I'm going to pause this as I pick him up.
What's going on?
I figured we might as well nail something.
Well, this is kind of cool.
You gotta kind of eat these as you go.
Awesome.
I was trying to do a little intro as I drove in, as I was driving, and I found myself going down the wrong road. Yeah. So, make sure that's dead.
I wondered if you made a wrong turn.
No, I was just chatting to myself.
I do that sometimes.
That's the whole reason I do this thing, because nobody else will talk to me.
Yeah. One time, I talked to myself. At my best.
Yeah.
One time we got into a fight.
Get that up there. Hello.
Yeah, you gotta kind of eat it.
Okay, I'm here.
So where'd you want to hit tonight?
Did you have plans of doing something?
You know, I gotta stop into Brick and Bones and talk to Michael over there.
That's fine.
I had set something up that we were planning to do about a month ago, and it kind of got sidetracked, and then I got sick, and I haven't really been going out the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I absolutely had to. So it kind of got shelved. And I think they're still planning on me being over there. So I got to go straighten that out. But and then I just wanted to pop through and listen to some.
Nice.
See what we can find. Yeah, did you eat dinner already?
Kind of, sort of.
Kind of? You could eat again?
I could eat again. I could always eat again.
We had a late lunch at home.
Yeah?
And but yeah, I'll figure we can go grab
too.
Something. So tell me about this rocking horse deal.
Well, I attended an open mic. It's something I enjoy doing. It's just what I like to do. I'm an amateur wannabe musician. And so it was advertised. I went over there 1 week. Everybody had a great time. It was a great turnout. Went back the next week, and it was done. It was gone. So I think
that happens with Rich on a couple of projects.
I discussed with Rich the situation, and he told me his concerns and his situations and details and everything. And I just thought, well, maybe there's an opportunity for me to kind of start an open mic, you know, because I like to perform and I like to put on gigs. I'm trying to get myself to do my own solo gigs, which I think I'm ready to do now. To get hired. But there was a stage right there just waiting to be used. So I talked to him, and he just needs somebody to come in and do music in his establishment, maybe draw a crowd. And I've got a few friends and fans that I can bring in. So it was the beginning. It's the beginning of a beautiful relationship.
Have you set? Is it going to be every Sunday? Is that the plan? Or
we are talking, and we have both agreed that it should be every Sunday, and I'm making myself available. So it'll be kind of a priority for me to remain loyal to that.
And what time?
We discussed start at 7. Should we start 6? It's Sunday night. So
Sunday evening.
And we're going to make it about 6.
6-ish.
We started early, yeah.
Now, it's going to be able to be just like a walk-up. People come in and sign up. Do you want some little heads-up?
Anybody can walk in and walk up to the list. I will make myself available for emails and text messages reserve. My email is dalo278@gmail.com.
And what number can they text or call?
They can text me at 602-478-0936.
Well, how long have you been playing?
Oh, boy.
And is guitar like your main?
Yes, I've always had a guitar by my side. I've had a guitar next to the bed, in the living room, next to the toilet, you know.
Like
just
me and a camera.
In the back porch. Yeah, you and the camera, huh? Exactly.
Now, you you play keyboard as well. Huh?
I dabble.
Everything.
I dabble at the keyboard. If it's something seriously that I want to do, I'll walk over and figure it out and play it. But when I was a kid, when I was young, I'm one of the oldies, old people. I saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, as it happened. And I turned around and looked at my mom, and she was saying, "They look like girls." And my dad tucked his head away from the paper, and he said, "Oh, my gosh, what's this world coming to?" And so I was amazed and stunned, and I said, "This is what I must be when
I
grow up."
How old were you at that time?
That would be about 9 years old, fourth grade.
Was that like the aha moment for you when music
Yes.
And it turned a light on, or had you been interested in music before that?
Yes, I have photos of me playing little guitar when I was in diapers, little toy guitar. I was always singing. At 2 years old, 3 years old, I was singing the Mickey Mouse theme, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, word for word. My parents were just amazed at my musical prowess. Is that a word?
It is now. Well, I'll type it on the internet, and everybody knows if you read it on the internet, it's true. So
We'll
put that on there.
Okay.
So you always had, were able to kind of had an ear for music, and it was an interest, but it was that appearance on Sullivan with the Beatles that really...
Well, that, and then, of course, watching TV. Back then, that's all we had is TV. We didn't have... the radio stations weren't... they were just now getting to start playing this kind of music. Music that was not my mother and father's style of music.
Yeah.
And so then the Stones came on TV and the radio, and then the Monkees and all of that stuff. So I was just dazzled by that. I was never into sports. I was never into anything else, but just enjoying music.
Now, what'd you think of the Monkees? Now, this is... See, I know the Monkees. I'm a little younger than you. Not by much, but I'm a little younger than you. And when for me, the Monkees were something goofy, it was silly, and it was very poppy. It was very, very, like, you know, top 40. For a little kid, it was something that you can bounce around to, and they were funny and silly. But the Monkees get kind of a bad rap. When you first saw the Monkees and when you were first aware of them, what was your take?
Oh, I was excited as all get out. In fact, I thought the Beatles are finished now.
I think the Monkees thought that too.
Yes.
I tell you, I think they get a bad rap because some of their music, and from what I understand, just as seeing the documentaries and the bios and things, Mike Nesmith was a pretty darn good musician.
Yes, he had a musical
for his time and even ahead of
career.
His time.
Yes.
Mickey Dolenz, he was more of a child actor, but that guy can belt out some tunes.
Oh, he had an amazing voice. Well, and the whole thing that later on we learned who they were, we learned that it was a TV show. That's all it was. It was just a TV show.
A prefab group.
Exactly. And they just made a fictitious group. But the thing is that they hired some incredible people who had credibility and as musicians and as actors. Somewhat, and they were all sang and they all played, but we now know that all that was prefabricated music in a lab.
Now
of
that
course,
that
but,
wasn't that wasn't uncommon then, and even now.
I correct.
Mean, didn't the record companies kind of say we want a specific look, we want a specific feel, and then hunt out and kind of create? They were doing that. Motown was doing that.
Yes,
the doo-wops were doing that.
That's correct, you know.
Yeah.
And going back to the Beatles, the funny thing about the Beatles is that one of the early history commentaries was these guys actually played their instruments on TV and actually played their own material, which was unheard of at the time. So that's what that incident did. The Beatles are, everybody says, oh, yeah, I like the music or I don't like the music. But they did some very, very significant things that could only have happened to them at that time.
Let's slow down there for a little bit, because that was kind of my next train to go down.
Okay.
The Beatles are the bar that everybody sets as singers, songwriters, musicians. They had many. We were talking about looks. They had different looks. They had different styles. They evolved as a group, but they are set up as that. I don't know, you know, like the Mount Rushmore of music, basically.
Okay.
Why was that? What was so different about the Beatles? Why were they so... Why was there a Beatlemania in your eyes? What set them apart from anybody else that was coming up, you know, in the few years before them?
Well, Matt, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked. In fact, I have my notepad here. I'm going to pull it out, and I'll start with... No, I'm just kidding. I just know the Beatles and that effort that happened, that phenomenon, is the mother of everything
that is done in music
today.
For you personally, as a 9-year-old kid, what was it? And
first of all, the look was sculptured. By the way, when the Beatles were coming to the United States, they went to Roy Orbison. and said, hey, we're going to America. You know, what do the kids over there want? And he said, wear a haircut like this and wear Spanish leather boots, which are now called Beetle boots, and the suits. And so that was all Roy Orbison's idea that he had. They said, okay, that's what we'll do. The individuals had their own style of singing, and Lennon and McCartney were not really harmonizing. They were two lead vocalists that sang two lead lines. It just fit together amazingly. Oh. They had some good help from producers and managers that helped them to stay professional, but it was all from the heart, those individuals. It'll never be done again.
Yeah, because you try and, you know, you talk to people of different generations and they different decades, and they'll have their own, you know, where were you when moments.
And that's interesting.
For you at 9 watching them on Sullivan, that was a where were you moment for you.
I think so.
For others, it was, you know, maybe Woodstock. For others, it might have been the first time they heard Zeppelin, and then
I understand
and
that.
Sad
yeah.
to say, there's others the first time they heard Bieber, or Madonna. You know, it's that's the epitome of music for them, or whether it be a movie or anything. But for you and kids your age, what was it that the Beatles? Why was that so huge?
Oh, now I understand your question. My mother's music.
You're the only one. My mother, I have no idea what I'm asking.
My mother and I had a great love of music. She was into the jazz, the classic. She had a stereo and she blasted it all the time. My father was so-so. But their music was, I'll give you an example, Sinatra, Jerry Vale, Vicky Carr, Nat King Cole. So you've heard those songs.
Oh, yeah.
You've got them in your head. You can kind of recall them when you something.
My mom was a Sinatra nut.
Oh, yeah. And so that was it. That was the standard. And then all of a sudden, these four mop tops come on TV. So imagine you're sitting there, and your kids are watching this. It changed. That's the day modern music changed. And Ringo Starr had the crashing cymbal on a 4/4 beat, where rock and roll was always a 2/4 beat. The Elvis, this is technical musician stuff.
No, and that, because I don't understand, that's all, you could be speaking a foreign language to
sure.
me. But I know there's a lot of people that listen to this because of the musicians I talk to. So explain that a little bit, so dummies like me
would understand. Okay, well, I don't know, the early rock and roll, the Buddy Holly songs went, you'd have a dominant saxophone going, da 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 da, and the beat would be two 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 two. And Ringo came out and he went do 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 do.
It's almost like changing the heartbeat a little bit.
It changed the beat of popular music, yeah. And then they called it, and then they attached the word rock and roll.
Gotcha.
To that. So it was a whole different type of beat, whole different type of a tempo. And it would just completely change.
Now to your, and I'm not asking you to, you know, be the encyclopedia here,
no.
But in your opinion or in your understanding, was that a Ringo thing? Was that a producer thing, or was that a Beatles thing? Do you think Ringo was responsible for that?
Yes, he was. No producer or manager could have ever created that, because they didn't. It was something new. It had never been done before. It was just a unique. A pairing or four people together doing something that they do.
Oh, really? Our local Hell's Angels just.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, they're nice boys. Yeah, you know, they're nice. Well, sorry. Ooh.
They're in my old building on Lantana.
Never mind. But it was just a unique assembly of people who were just moving from the heart and the gut. And making their own thing. And then they found somebody cooperative enough to allow them to do it.
In the sound booth, you mean? As far
yeah.
as letting
and his
them...
name was George Martin. And then gotcha. It was Brian Epstein and a couple of others that said, okay, let's just sit back and watch what happens. Now, this is my totally unprofessional opinion, but it's how I see it and it's how I feel it and how it affected me.
Now, that technical aspect of that beat. Now, when you clicked it out there, I could see what you were saying, but as a non-musician, I don't know why it sounds better. I just know that that's different, and it kind of, you know, I can tell that by hearing something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, I mean, were you aware of that as a kid, or did you just know this is something different and I like it?
No, I did not know what was going on. It was just, I think what it was is that back in the 60s, we had something called the generation gap. So different things happened in the world, on the news, that created young people to start thinking differently than their elders. And so that contributed to it. But no, as the music happened, I could not technically tell you what was going on. But I think it was mostly the difference. I think it was mine. This music was now mine.
Gotcha.
It was not my parents. It was mine.
Even some of the early rock and roll, you know, Elvis, for instance.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was, you know, his style, his dance moves and everything were so outlandish for the time, and now they're, you know, they're so tame by today's standards. But even some of his, you know, his ballads and stuff weren't that. In you know, the mid and late 50s, weren't that removed from the early 40s crooners.
But
the difference between a, you know, like a power ballad of the mm-hmm. late 60s, early 70s from a ballad of the 50s is hugely different. So it's the it seems like the changes in music mm-hmm. were coming a lot slower, and once the 60s came, boom. Changes happened.
It was. It was a sudden thing. It's just a strange phenomenon, and it's discussed. It's taught in schools.
Yeah.
There's university courses on this subject. So it was. I'm so happy I got to see this time.
You see it first.
I really am. I'm so glad I got to be to see all of that happen. To see the Woodstock and the birth of a whole new attitude people.
What was the first piece of music that you got yourself, that you bought, that you chose? Do you remember?
You mean like something I liked to go out to a record store?
Yeah. What was the first? Do you remember the first?
I do.
Because now you download 1,000 at a time.
Right.
I remember going to a record store with, you know, a couple of dollars that I scrimped in my pocket, knowing I was only going to walk away with one thing. And taking a long time to decide.
And then you'd take the vinyl out of the sleeve.
Oh, and read those liner notes.
And then you would read the liner notes. And you would stare at that front cover while the music was playing. And then you would turn it over and look at the back. And then if you were, if it was just right, you had it opened up. And you looked inside. Yeah. And that was your video. And you could, and then you would kind of shake
head,
it back and forth to make it look like they're dancing. And...
All right, now you're just getting weird.
So, yeah.
Do you remember what your first was?
Yeah, I was in high school. I went out and I bought James Taylor, Sweet Baby James. And then I bought, within, I'd say, a couple of months, I bought the Abbey Road. And then I bought Led Zeppelin II.
That's kind of a pretty diverse, you know, James Taylor is very... I don't know. How would you describe?
He's not
it?
Zeppelin.
Yeah, he's it's. I don't. It's serene almost.
Oh yeah.
Very relaxed.
Just wonderful.
Very melodic.
Folk music, ballads.
The Beatles. Abbey Road had a. What were some of the cuts on Abbey Road? Refresh me.
Well, it had something.
I have it.
Something in the way she moves.
Yeah.
And which it is had a ballad. Octopus's Garden. And it
kind
had
of a little more
it
psychedelic.
Had two extended melody. Of several songs compiled on the side two. So the greatest Beatle work, of course, is side two of the Abbey Road album.
And then you got Zepp.
That's was
quite
just,
quite a diverse little collection. That would be a strange iPod mix right now.
Not for me.
Nah.
I can now, go from Memphis to Mozart in a heartbeat.
Were you playing music? At that time?
Or I had a little guitar, and I would play guitar chords along with what I heard.
Were you starting to get serious about playing music at that point? Or
no.
Not till later?
No. And then in 2010...
Well, I can't jump that far.
Okay, forget it.
We can't jump that far that fast. I got to fill time here. That way I can charge sponsors.
Okay.
So you're in high school. You're kind of all over the place as far as music, whatever kind of grips you. What was the first live music you've seen that you saw? Ooh, do you remember?
My goodness, you are good with the questions. Let's see. Well, I'm going to throw in Neil Young was the songwriter type music. We had an art class at Maryville High School. Mrs. Meineke encouraged all the kids to bring in their favorite music.
And where was this? Where'd you go to high
school? In Maryville High School, Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, okay. So you're an Arizona,
yeah,
born and raised.
Kind of sore. Wasn't born here, but I'm a native. But art class had a music, so other kids would bring in stuff that I'd never heard of. So that era, you know, a lot of us people at our age just... Yes, here's another interesting thing. From the years of the late 60s up until the 80s, there was not a lot of records out there. I mean, there were a lot of them, but not like now. And you had to buy the whole album, even though you liked one song.
Oh, you can get a 45.
So everybody I know my age has Dark Side of the Moon. Everybody had After the Gold Rush. Everybody had the same record albums for a good 10 to 15 year period there. And then it all changed when it went digital.
Yeah.
And I think the hair bands is when I kind of started losing interest.
I remember growing up there, you know, you'd have your record collection, and some people were really heavy into disco, and some were really into the older R&B, mm-hmm. and then you had the metalheads, and then you had the pop, top 40 teen beat stuff. But there were a couple, the same thing, there was a couple of records that for a good chunk of time, no matter where your musical taste sat,
yeah,
you had to have these. One of them, for the folks that I knew, Frampton Comes Alive.
Yes.
Everybody had that.
Yes.
No matter what you listened to, you could be thumbing through albums, and no matter what,
yeah,
Frampton Comes Alive would pop up.
Everybody had.
What was the other one? There was... Aerosmith bootleg.
Okay.
Is in everybody's collection,
yes,
no matter what.
Yeah. And that's because of availability. There was only certain things out there. And now everybody's in on the act. And that's great. I'm glad it's just proliferated. But that was a great generation of people that in the arts and in the entertainment. Going from black and white TV. Did you ever see a black and white TV?
I still have one.
You have one. You need a.
We didn't get a color TV.
It was like big and fat and like 12 inches deep.
I don't think we had a color TV at my house until I was probably in junior high.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was a great day when that happened.
Not that I grew up so long ago. It's just we were broke.
Yeah.
All right. So now you're graduating high school. You weren't in any high school bands or anything like that?
Not really.
Grew up in Phoenix. You weren't playing Alice Cooper's bands?
No. No, but in high school I did do stagecraft, stage production, audiovisual. When we had a big old reel-to-reel videotape that was like 3 inches thick, and I got to go out and do the dance classes. I got to tape the football games and stuff.
Were you doing that more as an interest, or were you thinking maybe getting into that as a profession?
That's what I wanted to do with my life, is to be into video, to be in the media somehow. We had a media class called media something media.
So did you get
media
into that?
I did take the class 1 year.
No,
but
I mean in as a profession.
No.
No?
I lost my camera at Disneyland, and there went my career. The whole bag. Two or three lenses.
Oh, man.
And everybody from out of town was wanting me to take the pictures. I said, I'll take everybody's pictures for you. So they put their cameras away and let me do it. And on the last day, it was gone. Yeah.
So what'd you do after high school? Did you go to college at all? Or?
No. I just involved myself in some, you know, personal interest. Went out and got a job.
What were you doing? What was your work?
No, construction, drywall.
Yeah. Now, what years was this?
I was married in about 75.
So when did you graduate high school?
72.
72. So you hadn't quite hit that big population boom down in the Phoenix area, wasn't that like later 70s?
It started. It started, and Phoenix grew by leaps and bounds during the 70s to the early 80s.
Yeah.
And then it died, and then in the 90s it took
off. Picked up again. Yeah. So when you get out of high school, you get married right away, or...
I was married in 75.
75?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yep.
How'd that work out?
That lasted a while.
A while?
Uh-huh. It did what it did. And then that was over with. And by 80, I was married again. And that lasted until, well, that lasted 31 years.
Oh, man. That was a long stretch. And that did that ending of that marriage kind of correspond with the 2010? With you picking up the music a little bit more?
There we go.
I'm kind of piecing together because we had a couple of conversations off mic a couple of weeks ago, and I'm trying to keep the time frame in my head.
I had a wonderful conservative lifestyle, and for all those years, the job of being, you know, a good father and a husband and all that stuff is... good or bad, I did what I did.
Yeah.
In 2010, I found myself single. And I thought, what am I going to do with my life? At this point now, it's over. It's over. You know, there's just nothing left to do.
Well, glad you changed your mind on that one.
Well, I picked up my guitar, and I went down to what they called an open mic, which I'd never heard of. This is 2010. And it's called Fiddler's Dream. It's in Phoenix on 16th Street in Glendale. It has been there for eons of time.
Still there?
Still there. A little bitty intimate living room. No sound system, no nothing. You just get up there. And I sang a John Denver song, and they clapped.
What was the song?
I'm sorry for all the lies I told you. My lament for the time. And they clapped, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. I was so addicted. I was addicted.
Was that the first time you performed?
Yes.
I mean, other than in your living room, was that the first time you performed?
In front of a seated audience that paid $3 to get into the room. Yeah.
And they applauded. How many songs did you do? Just the one?
Yeah, I did three songs.
Three? What else did you do?
I don't remember.
But you remember that one?
I remember that one.
And you remember them clapping?
Yes.
And were you hooked?
I was reborn. It was time for a new life.
Had you been writing any of your own material?
I am not a writer. I do not have the gift of wordsmithing.
You've done a few.
That's pretty good there, what I just said for somebody who can't write. I don't write that down.
You should write that down.
Chihuahua.
So what? I mean, you do write some stuff.
Yes,
I've heard you play a couple.
I have.
But you don't consider yourself a writer?
It's something I have yet to explore. And I plan on it.
So it sounds like that was a, I don't want to poke at sores, but it sounds like that was kind of a vulnerable time for you.
Yes, indeed.
And something about that specific John Denver tune touched you?
No, not so much the John Denver tune. It was just finding out that I can do something that people are going to like, and also I have a situation with me that is I feel really draws me to music.
That's Bobby Johnson. So what songs? What gets you? What hits your heart? Or who? I guess I should say
who. Well, when I do perform at this point now, when I want to start performing out, playing out for people, I have to decide what I sound like and what is my draw, what is my audience. So I've decided that I do basically, rock ballads, slower songs, or songs that I can. I just have kind of a John Denver voice, James Taylor voice. I sing Steve Perry, Beach Boys, Brian Wilson. So I sing songs that I can do well. I stay away from things I can't do. And that's kind of it. I had to decide what I want to do. So I've got several songs that I like, that I enjoy singing, that people seem to like. And so that's what I'm sticking to, just for the purpose of entertainment.
Now we talked about you starting this open mic at Rockin' Horse, but you when did you end up here from Phoenix? What years did you end up in the Prescott area?
During my life, I've been back and forth to Phoenix a number of times.
Gotcha.
Lived in like 5-year stints, and then back and forth.
So when did you start hitting the open mics up here? Because I know you,
sure.
you go to a few here and there. You went to the one at Rockin' Horse. I've seen some videos mm-hmm. of you at the Birdcage and a couple other shows.
My recent time that I've been up here started in 2000, no, a year and a half ago. What's a year and a half ago?
So a year and a half,
almost 2 years ago.
2013-ish.
I'd say almost 2 years ago. So I came up here, and I had done a number of places and played some gigs down in Phoenix with a great network of friends. I came up here thinking, oh, what's this little town got to offer? And within a few months, I found, some amazing talent, amazing people to share my passion with.
Well, we just pulled up to in front of Brick and Bones. We're going to pop in. Let's grab a little bite to eat. And keep talking. Once we get in there, I'd like to sit down and so run this through your head as we
sure.
as we pack up the gear. I want to talk a little bit about some of the venues up and down the row here.
Okay.
Some of the musicians that you like listening to.
Yes.
Some of the local guys, some of the folks. You sent me some referrals for some future episodes, and they reached out to me. I don't have their names off the top of my head, but I'm sure you do. We could talk about those folks
mm-hmm.
and why... why the music community here in Prescott is thriving like it is. Because in part of the intro, and you'll hear it once it's posted up, I'm not going to give you too much about it. You know, I was comparing you and I in the same. My art form is not musical. Yours is. But over the course of decades...
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I've been able to support myself with it. Sometimes I haven't.
Right.
It's something I've always done.
You're a media guy.
Yeah.
We need media guys.
Photography, writing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just something I've tried to shelve it. I'm never touching that camera again.
No.
That lasted a little bit. And then oh, I start no.
Well, and if that's
again.
What you do, if that's your thing,
yeah, but there's,
and your ability, your skill, it won't go away.
Yeah. Let's talk once we get
sure.
in there, we'll talk about why we do what we do. Why is it important to take a picture, write a sentence, pluck a guitar? So
you bet.
Let's kill it for a minute here. Yeah, we're good.
Grab your mic. Man, you jump right into it.
Yeah, it's just a conversation.
It's a conversation. I like that. Take rapid pictures when I would shoot.
It's the only thing I do rapidly.
Yeah. I mean, you don't never say cheese.
Ah,
you know.
Queso.
You say something like a gun, and then you start snapping away at express. When I did weddings, I always I would take pictures behind the bride and groom of them talking to their friends, because other photographers always have the couple, so they know what they look like. But afterwards, they go, "Man, you got a picture of my school. You got a picture of my school teacher. You got a picture of my boss at work."
Yeah, but you're assuming people invite people they like to their weddings.
I wasn't assuming nothing. I was just shooting.
I don't find that. I find people invite people to their weddings because they feel they have to, and they never want to see them again. That's my story. So
cool.
Oh, man,
okay,
I got to get rid of this hoarseness, man. It's killing me. So we're sitting out in the patio, Brick and Bones. This is like my home club now. It sounds
I love
like.
Brick and Bones.
But it's kind of odd. They have Bobby Johnson, DJ Mello B, does comedy nights here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was coming out. That was the guy walking by the van when we pulled up.
Okay.
That I kind of waved at.
Uh-huh.
And they're doing comedy. We came here and they said they were getting ready for comedy out in the patio at 8 o'clock, and it's like 6:45 now. I figure we come out here, record
yeah.
for another half hour, 20 minutes or
sure.
so, get a little bite to eat before they start. But when we walked in, my subject from a couple weeks back, Don Cheek and his band The Cheek Tones, are setting up.
Don
and they
Cheek.
Say they're playing out here, so we might have
Hi, Don.
A comedy.
Hi, Drew.
Comedy music face-off going on.
Hi,
this
Don.
Might be fun to watch.
I'm waving at them, and they wondering who I am.
So what we were talking about in the car, this is perfect, because for me, one of the people that I really like to listen to that a local musician is Don Cheek.
Yes.
With either himself, he runs the open mic at the Birdcage, or with his crew here, including Drew Hall. Man, that guy is just amazing.
He is the greatest guitarist in the state.
If not more. I mean, he blows me away every time.
He just has certain style.
So drop back, anybody listening to this, drop back. Get the right ones on, yeah. Drop back a few weeks and listen to that interview with Don Cheek. And then I did a video clip featuring one of the Cheek Tone songs and a couple little video clips. We might even do some.
That was a great interview. Right. I saw the whole thing. And it was interesting. I didn't know Don was a native Arizonan. Yeah. In the Phoenician.
He could have been your teacher.
He my grandpa?
He could have written you up and sent you to the office.
He was on the other school district. I think so, about 10 years ahead of me, though.
So perfect lead-in, because you and I both like listening to these guys.
Yes.
Who else, besides Don and Drew and the Cheek Tones, who else locally? Do you, when you see them on either a flyer, a poster, or in a window, go, uh-huh. Hey, those are guys I want to see. Those are girls I want to see play. Who around?
Little Larry. Little Larry is just so much fun.
I'm not familiar with Little Larry.
Dude, you've got to get hip to Prescott. Little Larry, he's the other side. No, he is a great guy, and he performs solo. He has backing tracks on his player, and then he plays and sings with them. You'd swear it was a band. He's a bald-headed white guy who sings Motown, like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I know who that is. Yeah, I do know who that is.
He appears a lot. I see him a lot up at the Jersey Lily upstairs. Yeah. And then he has a band called The Drive, which is a couple of guys accompanying him. I also like locally Lori McDonald, even though she lives in Jerome. But Lori,
where does she live?
I think she lives in Jerome.
Oh, okay.
And Lori is she has a cooking band, man. She just rocks. One of the hardest female rockers around, so... another local, there's a band called Something Possum Something. forgive me for not knowing the name, but
I'll
look
it up.
Well, there are a couple of 13, 14-year-old kids, and there's these two blonde-headed twins that play, and I've seen them playing at other venues too with other musicians. So I really, really like them.
I'm not ignoring you. I'm trying to get the eye of somebody because I want something to eat. Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay.
Locally, I like
to go and listen to everybody. I can't remember everybody's names. I enjoy it. And I'm more of a coffee shop kind of a thing, more so than a bar thing.
Raven's a good spot. That's a neat little spot.
Oh, I love the Raven.
Spot. Yeah.
Love the atmosphere. They always have great entertainment. And it's a family venue. You can bring kids in there.
Yeah. Good cheap coffee.
Let me tell you about what I really, really like is here is the open mic forum where I have two friends, Lisa Amore and her husband Scott. And they are very, very wonderful entertainers, very talented. And they host an open mic over at the La Quinta Hotel over there just east of Costco.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And it's got a big green sign, La Quinta. And they do that every Friday night. They've also had it at Stone Ridge Country Club. They've had a few of them throughout
the years.
But La Quinta's
where they're based now?
Right now. And this summer they're starting up another one on the outside patio. So I really enjoy going to them. And there's a lot of great people that show up there. There's a local guy named Michael San Joaquin. He has an extensive history in the music business, performing in the California area with a lot of people that, you know, he names. And then there's a guy named Sequoia, who is a percussionist, and he is really more of a Native American folk music composer. He really enjoys that style. So there's a lot of neat people. There's a young guy named Carlos. I don't know his last name, but he plays a cello. It's just so diverse
it's
in this
big,
area.
Big mix. Who are you hoping to see come in on Sundays at the Rockin' Horse?
Oh, everybody. Anybody
you're not,
that
you're trying to gear it towards a certain style or
well, like I said, I'm trying to discover myself. I'm trying to discover what kind of an entertainer I'm going to be, what my audience is going to be.
Now, is this something you want to do you envision yourself, or are you hoping that you could this will be your vocation? You'll be able to
I want to be
yourself?
A professional musician.
Well, and
I want to make a
what
living.
Now? Hmm? And you're doing what now?
Oh, I cut grass.
To pay the bills.
Cut grass.
So you work for the dispensary there on the
and
highway?
I do Roto-Rooters and things like that.
You're working with Ken, right?
Yeah, I'm you're just working with...
Let's give him a plug. Acme Plumbing.
Acme, A-C-M-E, just like the Roadrunner. Acme Plumbing.
Ken
out
Whitley
of Chino Valley.
In Chino Valley. It's one of the first ones you see in the phone book. If anybody ever used the phone book anymore, they'd see that one first. Let's give Ken. Ken needs a good plug. He's a good guy.
Sure, yeah.
So you're doing what you can to get by.
Uh-huh.
But the music is what is driving you right now. That's what you want to be able to sustain yourself with.
Can I be frank with you?
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Frank.
You could be Dale. You could be Frank.
Okay.
Depends on whose credit card you boosted and what it says. I'm Mr. Yamamoto right now.
I was asked, because I'm such a freak about music, if I was addicted to music. Are you addicted to music, like a drug or like alcohol? And I said, no. To me, music is not a drug. Music is oxygen.
Something you need to do.
Oxygen is not addictive.
Yeah.
Oxygen is necessary for life. So I have a neurological system that has to be fed by music.
Does it keep you stable?
Yes. I can't go 48 hours without listening to something.
Someone steals your guitar.
Yeah.
And you don't have time to pick up an instrument.
Uh-huh.
And your radio busts.
Okay.
And 4 days go by without you ingesting.
Yes.
Or creating music.
Okay.
What does Dale look like after that third and a half, fourth day?
Oh, I just find a Home Depot bucket, turn it upside down, and I start drumming. You can't stop it.
What happens if you don't?
Yeah, it will happen. It will happen.
Huh?
It will happen.
No, what happens if it doesn't? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Because I have certain things I have to do, in order to keep my sanity.
Okay.
And I'll be very frank about it. If I don't, and sometimes I separate myself from it.
Yes.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Exactly.
That I would be laying down with somebody standing over me with a notebook taking notes. But if I don't, and I know what happens to me, is my anxiety level goes through the roof.
Exactly.
And I don't
sleep. Oh, I get very squirrely.
I don't sleep. I don't converse. It drives my wife nuts.
Yeah.
And I go through periodically. This happens to me.
Yeah.
And I kind of spiral and spin out of control.
Oh, yes.
Not to where I do anything.
A commercial comes on, and it's got a song.
Yeah.
I go for my guitar. Where's my guitar? Where's my guitar? And I dig it out of the bottom, and I start playing along with it. I have to do that.
When I get off kilter.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's a whole nother discussion that I need to have with somebody in a white coat and probably restraints.
I can do that too.
But when I'm not functioning right, I draw into myself. That's what happens with me.
Let me tell you something here. Let me tell you something about me. And this is really good. I was always different, and I was always bizarre and strange. I had a hard time doing numbers. Lousy in school, lousy in relationships, could not hold a job.
I think we're related.
So the first word I heard was a dyslexia. Then a few years later, attention deficit disorder. And then a few years later, all the great designer labels, for diseases. So now I know that I have a high-functioning autism.
Really?
It's called Asperger's syndrome. And so that explains my misfortunes in my life. Now that I have it with a real diagnosis, I work with Asperger groups, high-functioning autism groups. I am at peace with myself. I don't have shame anymore.
Because now you know what it is.
I know what I am.
Yeah.
I know what I am. And you can look at it as a disease, but I look at it as a condition. It's a power. It's an identity. You know, bikers wear their attire. Cowboys wear boots, buckle, and belt. You know, I wear my autism as an identity. It's what I am.
It's just part of you. Like, some people have blonde hair, some people have brown hair, some people
born
have
with
Asperger's.
It. You're born with it. Yeah. So what I do, I function okay. There's a lot of things that I have difficulty with. But one thing I don't have is difficulty with is music. So my music is savant. It's an autistic savant. Yeah. It's just there. It works. I remember every jingle I've ever heard from a commercial since I was a kid. I can recite all of the theme songs to Beverly Hillbillies and Gilligan's Island. It's just there.
Music is what...
It's an attachment.
It's what keeps you...
It's a fixation. It's an attachment. So if that kind of leads you into the intensity that I have with what I do.
Do you think that Asperger's and whatever the name is of now, do you think that that lends itself to creativity?
Oh,
because
definitely.
Because there's a lot of
definitely.
Who was I listening to recently? Jerry Seinfeld said that he feels he's, if not there, right at the border. A lot of writers, musicians.
Creativity is a thing. The thing is that you go to school, you go to college to learn something that's already known. People with this disorder don't want to spend time in school to learn something that's already known. What we do is brilliance comes from the mind. It originates there. It goes out into the world, and thus you have new things. And that's kind of those of us in the club, those of us on the spectrum, we get together. We're kind of like a gang. And we compare because we were always the subject of discussion. We were the subject of bullies and everything. So now we're trying to step out. We're taking over the world. We're going to own it someday. But for me,
if you're not going to own it, at least it'll have a great soundtrack.
Exactly. I'll do the soundtrack. But my music is that intense with me. It's not a hobby. It's not a
it's something
desire.
You need.
It's something I need, and it's something that I do, and it just won't stop. So that's my little thing. There's a great performer, a good friend of mine. Her name is Melody Guy, spelled G-U-Y. At melodyguy.com, and she also talks about her high-functioning autism. And she has a number of songs. And when I listen to her writing, it's like she's singing to me. And she's a good friend. She comes to Prescott now and then on tour. She tours between Portland and Nashville. So Melody Guy at melodyguy.com.
The artist you were telling me about that was coming through and needed to find a gig and you helped it. Yeah, okay.
She calls me in Albuquerque. He says, Dale, I'm coming to Prescott. I need some gas. Can you get me a gig? Yeah. And she lives in her truck, and she has a great home and a great husband in Portland. But now and then, she just hits the road,
she
and she's got
to
go.
Yeah.
She's going to get out. And so I enjoy knowing this about myself. It opens my mind to understanding other people. It's really, really a big thing with me. It's really a...
Now, this seems like, and if I'm reading you right, this is something you came to realize a little later in life.
Yes.
Now, what were some of the things... Growing up, now looking at it from the adult self,
yes.
What were some of the things that the traits, the characteristics, the tics, the mannerisms to where you go, oh, that's what that was? What, because what I'm thinking is myself, I don't know what's wrong with me, you know, but and I'm sure there's other people who either know of others, their children, their neighbors,
yes.
or themselves,
yes.
who just feel that they don't fit.
Yes.
What are some things that now looking back, you go, you can now attribute to your
oh, everything.
Conditions.
I was a victim of bullies. Bullies pick on the weaker species. You know, so when you're there and you're a weaker species, you attract that. Teachers would, treat me like I was really strange. I could
but
not
why?
Follow.
What were some of the things?
Well, some of the I don't know. I was always late getting stuff done. I don't have a clock in my head. If I have to be there at 8:30, I don't know what does that mean. So I look at a clock and I'm like, there's a great scene in a movie called Mozart and the Whale about the clock. A lot of great movies. It's just a different wiring that people with this type of autism have. It's a different wiring. That's all.
What did it manifest itself in any specific?
No, I was living a life of guilt and shame because I was an underachiever.
So did you draw in? You just
yes.
drew in.
Yes.
So that was when. The
yes.
Pulling it was, yourself into your.
Yeah, I just felt it 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
When you're a misfit, when there's a round hole and you're a square peg, okay, you find a square hole.
Yeah.
But a lead hammer was bashing on me, trying to make me fit for years
trying
and years
to fit
and years.
Into the yeah. curriculum
from
of
outside
fourth grade, of fifth
sources.
Grade.
I've never yeah. disliked myself. I've never had a problem with me. I'm fine. The problem is everyone else around me isn't fine with me. That's how most of us on this spectrum feel.
What can you. Let's try and flag somebody down. No, he's going to run away. What are some things that. What are some suggestions you can give me, you can give teachers,
uh-huh.
you can give mentors, parents, siblings, if they, you know, so that they, so that we don't unintentionally treat
yeah.
people the
well,
way
that's,
you
that's great.
What are some suggestions?
First of all, when you are different, you are a threat to what is normal. And so the normals, whatever that means, let's say the non-spectrum people, they don't know what to do. So they try to fix you. And parents and organizations and medical field people are trying to fix us. And just to remember, we don't need to be fixed. In fact, if we had our own planet, we would be fine, and you would be the one with the disorder.
So, I've got plenty of disorders all
that's,
on
that's,
my own.
That's my illustration. So just for everybody to learn to, first of all, those on the spectrum to be responsible for your situation. Don't be sick. Don't treat it like an illness, because then you'll be in a prison all your life.
Yeah.
Treat it like
which
an
which is what happened.
Exactly.
Decades ago and yeah. probably even still happening.
I advocate for people to take their disability, whatever it be, and treat it as an identity. Make an identity and let people know what you are. And then move forward from there. If it becomes your identity, now you're liberated and it becomes the source of your power.
Yeah. One of the things, hey, Manny, sit down. Pull up a chair.
I'm going to go get a beer.
Hey, see if you no, see if you can get a waiter to come over here. We want to eat.
Yeah. We need a menu.
Yeah, we just kind of strolled over and sat down. We did. No, no, well, I'm here enough. They ignore me on purpose, and it's justified. Thanks.
Appreciate it. But yes.
But grab some. Just to, I'm gonna open a tab, so don't pay for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ha. Well, you could. I don't think my wife would like that very much. She doesn't mind if I buy strange guys drinks, but when I start buying strange, and he's as strange as you can get.
Love you too, buddy.
Wow.
It sounds odd now, and people kind
what?
Of joke around about it, but there was a time where if you were left-handed,
mm-hmm.
they tried to fix you.
Exactly.
To the point of strapping your left arm down.
It happened to me. I had to hold a rock in my left hand.
Okay. Now it seems kind of odd, but it's still done.
Mm-hmm.
They still look. But that's not the case. The case is
and those,
I'm right-handed, you're left-handed.
There's yeah.
It's just something
different. And another thing is that if you're going to play guitar, you flip it around and you play it in the other direction. Now, when I started, I was told to play right-handed. They said, no, that's a sin. That's sacrilege.
Yeah.
You play it this way. So I played it for,
Hendrix
you know,
played
15.
What, upside down or
yeah.
something? Yeah.
And I played it for 10, you know, 10, 12 years, 15 years. And then one day my buddy says, you don't have any rhythm. Turn it around. So I put the pick in my left hand. And all of a sudden my rhythm came to
so
me.
So you're playing lefty now.
Yeah, I had to learn how to walk again,
oh, man.
Basically, you know. And so I did it. So now I play both ways badly.
Yeah. Back where I used to live, there was a shop that was... I think they're closed up now.
Yeah.
It was a guitar shop and a rehearsal space. I did photo shoots of different bands in the rehearsal
yeah.
space. It was a funky little, great little spot. It was called Left is Right.
Yeah.
And he specialized in custom-made left-handed guitars. And
exactly.
he was known, the guy was known all over the place. I mean, he had customers in Germany,
yeah.
Europe, you know, Asia, and throughout the U.S., including some pretty big names. And for some reason, I think, I want to say in the early 90s, he closed up, but Left is Right in Hayward, California was a well-known spot.
Really? Right? Yeah, I've heard of lefty stores. And then that gets back to the developing of a person. You know, you are what you are. And So rather than have the world dictate to me, I went through my life having to take my, when I sit down at a place setting, I have to grab the knife and fork and put it on the left side. I have to grab the glass and put it, and no one knows it. And even lefties don't even realize what they're doing it.
Right there, you're doing yourself a disservice by even going to places that have silverware.
Well,
because that
sure, even with our hands.
Go to places that you the only reason for good silverware is so you can take a souvenir.
When you are a misfit and you are not normal, or you are not, let's change the word from normal. Let's do typical and non-typical people. So if you're a non-typical person and you live in a typical world, you spend a lot of your energy turning things around.
I need it here, though.
You spend a lot of your life turning things around.
Yeah.
And you don't know it. So that's an extra burden you have going through life that normal. And so you become a target. You become strange and weird and different. And then you're bullied. You're looked at differently. So I advocate for people who are different. It's almost a racial thing. You have a majority racial population and a minority one. And years ago, in the 60s, black people, and we called them, I don't think the word black was even used, but they would raise their fists. You see those posters said Black Power? And these were people who were different and decided, we're not going to be different anymore. No longer are you going to make us sit in the backside of the bus. Okay. And then let's take people who have a different sexual persuasion, regardless of your opinion of that. These are people that are born a certain way. And suddenly one day they decide, I'm not going to live in a closet anymore. And now they move forward in their human fleshly lives at this time, not being a target anymore. Well, they're still targets. But everybody's going to, what's not normal is a threat to what is normal. So with me, with my difference and my autism, I've taken that same stance. I've come out of the music closet. I don't play sitting on the bed anymore. I now play in front of people. I play left-handed. I'm an advocate for what is different and strange. It makes me feel better. It makes me productive. It's mentally healthy for me. It's a whole different world since I've started to identify myself what I am.
Now, you said you work with, I don't know what you said, groups or you.
Oh, locally we have an autism. Okay. We have it's called the Asperger's Awareness Support Group. We meet every Monday. Every first Monday. Maybe I need to say that differently. I'm
horrible. First Monday of every month.
Thank you.
Gotcha.
And Dr. David Farrow is a psychologist with the VA. It's located at the VA complex, at Whipple. And we may have some changes pretty soon, but we're building a nice little, just a support group where people can come in that are different, and it's a safe zone, and they can talk or not.
Now, again, we share a lot of mutual friends. You and I just met a few weeks ago, though.
Yeah.
How often do you talk, aside from this group, how often do you talk about this openly? About your condition?
Asperger's? I try to be polite. Because I can gab about it, but
go ahead. Let's order.
Let's order.
We're good.
Did you want? What? Do you know what you wanted?
I'll take fish tacos.
Fish tacos are so good.
And I'll have a club soda or some fizzy water of some kind.
I need an ice water. I think Maddie here wanted a beer. Did you already order a beer? No.
We are live at Brick and Bones. The sun is going down. The temperature is cold. I'm not wearing a jacket, but we got the fire towers going. The fire towers.
My eyes.
And the band. Whoa, there we go. The band is setting up. Tonight it is Don Cheek and the Cheek Tones with my favorite guitarist and favorite drummer and favorite violinist and favorite bass player. So here we are having a good time. Again, we are talking to me, Dale Long Sr. to be exact, because my son is also in the area, and I am with Matt Santos.
What are you doing, a commercial?
Yes, I'm doing a commercial.
Mm-hmm. I'm ordering my food, and you're doing a commercial for me.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Okay,
so, if you want the whitest and the brightest, the latest and the greatest,
I was asking if. how often you talk outside of the group. Does it make you uncomfortable me talking, you know, with
no.
the questions I'm asking?
I am an advocate at this.
I wasn't going to stop. I just wanted to know.
And you'll notice I brought it up.
Yeah.
So it's something that's very passionate for me. I see a lot of people having difficulties in life because of it. They don't need to have them. And I'm an advocate for this. I'm in your face about it.
Gotcha.
But I try to be polite. You know, and sometimes I see a situation, like there was a young person I know, parents were talking about their daughter who was different in school. I took one look at her and I go, yep, Asperger's.
Yeah.
And I said it out loud and people got offended, so I can't do that.
You're not supposed to offend people?
Huh?
I've been offending people for years.
I know.
I need to stop that.
Yeah. I am not allowing myself to be abused anymore. I'm not going to be bullied anymore. Just, and I started that about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, which is right about the time. Right about the time you started playing music. Do you see that? Am I reading too much into this?
That's it.
Or is that the connect? Is that a connection?
That is a connection. That is a connection. And so I finally went and got diagnosed professionally, just last year. So I've got the label now. I got a hat, and. And this is April. It's National Autism Awareness Month. I was at the Gateway Mall today handing out flyers.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah, that's right. I got that. There's a couple links I'll slap on this.
It's just about, you know, people. When you are limited in your thinking and limited in your expressions and you don't want to go outside your little closed world, there's other people out there.
Yeah.
There's other people out there. And just
a secret handshake?
Huh?
Did they give you a secret handshake?
Yeah, but I'd have to smack you if I showed you. We don't use our hands. No, I'm just kidding. See, we have our own. We are longing. One of the words is Aspie. Asperger is the name of the guy who invented it. If you find a disease, you give it your own name. See.
Yeah.
But in Europe, it's called Asperger. So it's not, but here it's Asperger. It's a donkey and a Big Mac.
Well, that's that old joke about Lou Gehrig. Well, good news and the bad news. The good news is we're going to name it after you.
I think it's very, very interesting. It's very satisfying, but a lot of people are afraid of it. And you don't be afraid of it. You know, if you've got kids with this disorder, just love them and learn about them. Enter their world. Instead of trying to yank them out of their disability into the normal world, visit your children or your loved ones in their world. And you'll be...
Instead of trying to jam that square peg in the round hole, maybe cut out the edges to fit in or find another hole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It takes a little work, but when we get our own planet, then we'll be... Because the only problem we have, those of us with Asperger's, the only problem
it's
we have in life is you. You and your kind. I'm just kidding, folks.
I find I'm on that wanted poster for a lot of groups other than Asperger's.
You know what? Now that I've known you for a few days, you may be one of us.
Very well. Well, let's track it back to the music, because it looks like the Cheek Tones are about to start up here in a minute. That's Gary on the drums over there. Some fine musicians. Let's double back. Rocking Horse Saloon, Sunday nights, early evening.
6 o'clock.
And we'll put up some links to their Facebook page. I'll redo your email. I'll pull it off so people know how to reach out to you. But give us a little commercial now for your open mic. Give us a little spiel on to invite folks to listen or to participate.
Yeah, and I also do, I'm also available for private parties, weddings, gigs. I'm a solo artist. I sing nice music. I call them radio tunes, songs you've heard on the radio and from the 60s, 70s, and 80s and whatever. So that's what I like to do. And I started off being a featured performer Sunday nights at the Rockin' Horse. That's the main thing. But he says, no, let's get other people hidden in there. I said, anybody shows up, we'll all play
let's
together. And what's nice is this is Prescott Valley. You know, we've got the row. We love the row. But this is Prescott Valley. And there's a lot of people. There's different types of people that go to different types of events. So this will be an alternative.
Now, how about folks that are just really starting to flex their musical muscles?
Come on out.
You don't have to be a seasoned open micer. You don't have to be polished.
Correct.
This is a way for people to really dip their toe into the performing waters like you did 5 years ago.
Yes, yes. It's just a wonderful thing. And once people find it, if they like it, if it's their knack, it'll be a whole new venture for them to move forward.
Now, what can folks, you said 60s, 70s, and 80s, what are some of your favorites that you'll be playing so people can get an idea? I know you like Neil Young. You gonna play some Neil Young?
That, yeah. I got some James Taylor. I got some Talking Heads. I got some Ozzy Osbourne. I got Heart. I got Carole King, Carly Simon, Neil Diamond.
Just like your first three records, Beatles, James Taylor, and Zeppelin.
Radio.
Your live performance is also, you've got James Taylor, Neil Diamond, and Ozzy Osbourne in the mix. You got good mix.
Did I say that? Okay. Yeah, and there's a lot of new stuff I like. I like John Mayer, and it just, you know, whatever suits my fancy, whatever hits my funny bone, not funny bone, my music bone, whatever hits that, be careful, that's what I like. And I have my own style. It's just a smooth acoustic type of performance. So I can take, you know, Sex Pistols and make it a nice acoustic song. And so that's what I do.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. I'll pop out there. I don't know if I'll make it tomorrow. But we'll definitely get out there and talk
That's
to
amazing.
Some of the musicians, get some photos, maybe some video. And I am going to reach out to those artists that you turned me on to through email to maybe sit down with them, hear their stories.
Yeah.
I tell you, Dale, it's been fun. We're going to hear some music. We're going to eat some food.
You betcha.
And we're going to have a good time tonight. Thanks for coming out. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it very much.
Well, that was it. That was my talk with Dale Long. Local musician. I'll have links for his email and his phone number and stuff on our website, milehighshow.com. We got a chance to have some dinner there after our discussion, talked a little bit more. He's an interesting guy. He's like a lot of us. We're just guys out there trying to make ends meet. And at the same time, enjoy a little time doing the things we love doing. His is music. Mine is, I don't know what mine is. Maybe that's the whole point of this podcast, is to talk with people, interview them, find out what they like doing, and maybe find a new hobby of my own. I don't know. I think I'm getting a little burnt out on that whole photography thing. We've been doing it too long, and maybe I need to learn how to play guitar or sing. Do I got a good sing? No, I can't sing. I can't play guitar. I can't do much of anything. But I do enjoy driving around in my van, talking to myself. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe the Mile High Show will turn into a guy driving around in his van talking to himself. Thanks to the folks at Brick and Bones for letting us take up space out in the patio. Check them out, brickandbones.com. I think it is. I don't know. I'll put a link up to that too. But they're right there on Whiskey Row. They got a new menu. They got some great food, some good drinks, and some great music out in the patio like we are listening to tonight by Don Cheek. Drew Hall and the rest of the Cheek Tones. So go out, listen to some music, have some fun, get off the couch. Unless you're listening to the Mile High Show, then cuddle up on the couch and download a podcast or two.
Not here with me. My friends all